People have called themselves socialists for a lot of different reasons, and they're not all based in theories about capitalism. Minneapolis rapper Brother Ali is Muslim and albino, and for him, politics is personal.
A lot of people wrote that I was black for years. We're sitting in a car. We just came from the mosque. We have suits on. And suddenly there's a big light on the car, and it's the police. Put your hands outside the car. Throw the keys out of the car. Step out with the right foot. Okay, stop. Get on your knees. Hands behind your head. They come and they handcuff us. They lay us down on the ground. We have suits on, and it's Minnesota in the wintertime. They start searching us, and they start searching the car. There's a big light in my face, but there's something metal touching my head. And I realized that it's a gun. The cop says, we got a call that there was two black men in a Cadillac about to rob the bank that's inside the grocery store. Our wives are inside. My baby is in there. I don't want them to come outside and see this. And so the whole thing gets done, and then we both get back in the car. And we're soaking wet, dirty. We just basically got held up at gunpoint. It's no different from being robbed. Except for that if these people shoot us, they won't get in any trouble. In the moment, I was really calm and I really was like in survival mode. But then after it was done, I start shaking when I realized, especially the gun part. But this man that I'm in the car with, he's an elder black man. He's like 60 years old, maybe. And he's just like slightly perturbed. Man, I just got this suit out of the cleaners. You know what I mean? In that moment, I was called a black man with a gun, and the cops responded accordingly.
Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the police. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the police.
We'll talk with rapper Brother Ali about hip-hop, race, Islam, and the left after this. You can find powerful critiques of capitalism and inequality on political platforms, but also on music stages. Take Brother Ali. He's a Midwestern Muslim rapper and one of the most popular, independent, socially conscious hip-hop artists out there. His lyrics are so critical of the U.S. government that one of his singles got him flagged by the Department of Homeland Security. Charles Monroe Kane caught up with him.
So first off, right off the bat, you're a white guy from Madison, Wisconsin, and you now live in Minneapolis. How did you end up being a socially conscious Muslim rapper?
I think it really has a lot to do with me being an albino. And so I was born in Madison, and then we almost immediately started moving around to different cities in the Midwest. And I was a new kid in school almost every year. And so I needed to figure out how to live in the world and how to, you know, deal with the cruelty that I received on behalf of my classmates. So my mom, who's a pretty white lady from Madison, had a solution in mind. We're going to change schools this year again. We'll dye your hair, then you'll just fit in. But the way that hair dye works is that it attaches to the color that's already in your hair. And so since I didn't have any, it turned my hair purple. So we had this regimen of going and getting my hair dyed, and then every day I had to get up and spray it with like Aquanet hairspray and try to get it to lay down. And it was really a mess. Hey yo, depending on the day and depending on what I ate, I'm anywhere from 20 to 35 pounds overweight. I got red eyes and one of them's lazy, and they both squint when the sun shines, so I look crazy. I'm albino, man, I know I'm pink and pale, and I'm hairy as hell everywhere but fingernails. There was an African-American woman when I was in second grade that worked at my school. You know, African people have more albinos than anybody else in the world, and they also stand out more, so it's a really normal thing for people from the African diaspora to see albinos and to understand us. So she gave me an Elvis Presley tape, and she said, you know, Elvis is really cool. Then also, she said, look at his hair. So why does his hair look like that? Does white people's hair naturally look like that pompadour? I was like, no, it doesn't. So then she gives me a Muddy Waters tape. And Muddy Waters obviously is the person that brought the Delta Blues to Chicago and really got the most popularity doing it. And she said, Elvis is trying to be part of the blues. He didn't want to steal the blues. He wanted to be part of it. He wanted to play like Muddy Waters, and his hair actually is him trying to look like the people that he looked up to. But she said, does black people's hair naturally look like Muddy Waters' hair? And I said, no, that's not what their hair looks like. She said, why do you think his hair looks like that? And so she said, we have this thing where you got Elvis doing their pompadour, putting all this gel and stuff in his hair to look like Muddy Waters, and Muddy Waters is putting chemicals in his hair. They called it a conch at that time, to look more white or more acceptable in white standards of beauty. Mm-hmm. So she said, what are we going to do about this? And then what I realized from that is that actually dyeing my hair made me more depressed. It was kind of co-signing the narrative that something's wrong with me.
If you would please turn in your Bible to Beauty Tips According to Forrest Whitaker, in the third chapter of the third line, Brother Ali, would you please read to the choir for me, son? I'm gonna be all right. You ain't gotta be my friend tonight. You ain't gotta love me. And I'm gonna be okay. You would probably bore me anyway. You ain't gotta love me.
The wisdom tradition of the Black experience taught me a lot. And so my whole life, for the most part, was Black. That led to me loving hip-hop music. When I was 13 years old, I met KRS-One, and he suggested that I read the autobiography of Malcolm X. When I got to the end of that book, and Malcolm said that he traveled around the world and he met people that would be considered white in America, but they weren't white. They were human beings, and that if the people in America who were taught to think of themselves as white, if they would study Islam, it would give them a chance to reconnect with their humanity.
Which brings me to another part of, I think, American history that gets completely overlooked or vilified, and that is the history of socialism. We're now seeing that socialism is on the rise for young people, especially for millennials all over the country. Does that surprise you?
No, it doesn't surprise me. I mean, whenever people are having difficulty with the dominant system, they always look for alternatives. And so I think that that's a natural reaction to, you know, the state of capitalism in the modern world.
Come on, let's go. Welcome to the United Snakes, land of the thief, home of the slave. Grand Imperial Guard, where the dollar is sacred and proud. Let's do the real, come on now. Smoke and mirrors, stripes and stars, stoning for the cross in the name of God. Bloodshed, genocide, rape and fraud, written to the pages of the law, good law. The cold continent latchkey child ran away one day and started acting foul. King of where the wild things are, daddy's proud, cause the Roman Empire done passed it down. Welcome to the United Snakes.
A lot of music, especially hip-hop, is from the left, talking about redistribution of wealth and racial inequality. Would you call yourself a socialist?
There was a long time when I definitely would have wholesale accepted all of that. I don't think I'm there anymore.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I'm in that place anymore. I think that what the left does that is absolutely necessary is address the suffering of the people that have been institutionally marginalized and oppressed. But modernity has its own reality. The more that I fall in love with the Islamic tradition, and especially the spiritual tradition within Islam that some people would call Sufism, there were certain things that they prioritized. And those things aren't always in line with the left. Like, modernity always privileges what's new. And so the new idea, the young, and all of that stuff is always better. I wouldn't say that I'm not in harmony with the left. I wouldn't necessarily be comfortable wearing that label the way that I think I once did.
As we sit here and talk about things like socialism and the left, how does your faith tradition inform that? Do you consider yourself a political activist?
Yeah, I mean, I do a lot of community and political organizing. There was a period of my life where that was really like dominating my existence, was to do that. But the Islamic tradition inspires it in a lot of ways. For example, the Islamic tradition is completely opposed to what's called usury. The creator actually says, we have declared war on the practice of usury, which would be maybe considered compound interest or something like that. Mm-hmm. A lot of the Islamist projects of the modern world that come out of colonialism, they're a lot more Marxist than they are Islamic. Not to say that Marxism doesn't have a lot of overlap with Islam, because it does. But so many on the left would say, especially, you know, the Black Panthers and the people that are Marxists would say, well, this is how religion puts people to sleep.
You're not using your heart for what hearts are for. They've been trying to shut us down our whole life. I thank God for healing. You ain't gotta give me lit. I got my own life. Thank God for listening. This
listen, you've been trying to build me up my whole life. I thank God for building. You ain't gotta get me lit, I got my own life.
On the contrary, though, the Sufis have been some of the greatest fighters of colonialism, especially if you look at the tradition in West Africa, for example. And what they would say is that the Creator actually created this situation of oppression or whatever it is, and also created me to fight it.
Brother Ali, I had a teacher in my life years ago. I studied liberation theology in college, pretty radical form of Christianity in Central America. There's a guy named Ernesto Cardenal who was one of the fighters for the Sandinistas, a poet.
Absolutely.
And I got to take some classes with him.
Amazing.
Yeah, it was a very powerful thing for a young radical Christian.
Yeah, man.
And he asked me a rhetorical question once. I remember I had a hard time with it. He basically said, all of the ancient wisdoms, they're inherently socialist. He said, and if they're not, they're not truly wise. Islam or ancient Christianity, do you see it as inherently socialist?
It depends on what we mean by socialist. What my understanding of the Islamic tradition and also my understanding of the sacred traditions would be, all of them privilege the poor and the people that are suffering.
Right.
I think that, but what they would say is people who have should be really encouraged with a spirit of giving and of sharing.
I mean, you just described utopian socialism perfectly as well as the ancient tradition, right?
But it would be something that would be done by choice. To a certain degree, but then they also had, you know, measures by which to make sure that the people that had a lot of money, that the money that they gave actually reached the people that needed the most. So there are a lot of things that if we would look at programmatically, we could say are definitely in line with socialism, you know.
Yeah.
But there also is an understanding in Islam that does really encourage people to be successful. So I think a lot of the conversation that we have around these terms, we'd have to spend a lot of time defining what we mean by the term.
You know, we have to wrap up, and I mean, normally in an interview like this, I feel like compelled, I want to say amen, because I really like what you're saying, but what, in your tradition, what would I say instead of amen?
I mean, it's the same word.
Oh, well, there you go.
It's the same word.
Well, amen, mean. Amen, Brother Ali. Thank you very much.
Thank you, brother.
I thank God I'm living, just reflecting all the beauty in this whole life.
Brother Ali is a rapper and activist from Minneapolis. His latest album is called All the Beauty in This Whole Life. And he was talking with Charles Monroe Kane.